Attendees and exhibitors are invited to participate in CHAD's 2015 Annual International Conference on ADHD that will be held November 12th through 14th at the Hyatt Regency New Orleans. Details about the annual conference are available on CHAD's website at chad.org/schedule. Don't miss this chance to learn and share information about ADHD.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. We have a great show for you tonight, ADHD and Hoarding. I got to tell you, I'm very excited about this because I want to learn a lot more about hoarding and the intersection of it with ADHD. And we've got a great guest for you tonight, Alice Price, who's in our virtual studio, which we will get into the meat of the show in a second. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, September the 23rd in the year 2015 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We've got 1 week away before September 30th, and then ADHD Awareness Month begins right after that for the month of October. We've got some great programming. We've got a lot of live stories, and we're going to anchor this year's ADHD Awareness Month with an interview with Autumn Zitani from Sesame Street. She's in charge of the curriculum for everything, the show, the website, the apps, and stuff like that. So please be looking out for that. They do a special curriculum on self-regulation, and I think it's very pertinent for those with ADHD. Lots of announcements. I guess first thing is the Edge Foundation has been a longstanding supporter of Attention Talk Radio, and they're a very valuable advertiser for us because we think what they do and the whole coaching paradigm that they're trying to help college students kind of get through school really fits with our stuff. We've been running commercials for them for a long time, and so many of you listen to our show while you're cooking dinner or driving on the road, and those that dial in, sometimes they don't necessarily know that you're interested. If you have listened to this show and called them for any or other reasons or gone to their website, please call 206-632-9497. Use promo code EDGE and get your free college success guide and tell them that you heard about it on Attention Talk Radio. We would really appreciate you guys loving on them a little bit. And the same thing, if you go to theedgefoundation.com, they got two things that are going on. One is a webinar on teens and driving, behind the wheel with ADHD. They're actually going out and trying to educate driver's ed teachers about ADHD and to deal with the intricacies of what's going on. If you know anything about ADHD and teen driving, the statistics are there's something to be concerned about. So, again, if you have a teen and they're about to drive with ADHD, go to edgefoundation.org/parents/webinars. Also, if you're an ADHD coach, and you want to get some CEUs or add the career piece to your repertoire, go to edgefoundation.com/coaches/CCEU. One of my most favorite interviews and people on the earth is Wilma Fellman. She's kind of heading up that class and that webinar, so I encourage you to check that out. Real quick, at the top of the show, you listen to a commercial promoting the upcoming CHAD conference in New Orleans. That's November 10th through the 12th. Trisha White from CHAD, long-standing person that did that commercial. We're very proud of her. So, Trisha, a little shout-out to you. But please, if you haven't gone to a conference or you're thinking about it, go to chad.org to learn more. I'm going to be there. I'm actually going to be talking about boredom. Hopefully I can make it exciting at some point in time through the show or through the conference. But there's all kinds of people that are going to be there. I mean, we've had so many speakers that will be actually speaking at this one. It's probably, I think we've got like 15 or 20 of them. So it's good stuff. Go check it out. All right, let's get into the meat of the show. Again, tonight with us we have Alice Price. She is the owner, or she's an organizer, coach, author, speaker, and the president of Long Island, Organized Long Island, Inc. She earned her degree in Certified Professional Organizer in Chronic Disorganization from the CPO-CD. That was from the Institute for Challenging Disorganization, and she's certified as a specialist in hoarding and ADHD as well as a chronic disorganization. She graduated from Denzlo Brown's Coach Approach for Organizers. I know Denzlo. I haven't met her, but I've talked to her multiple times on the phone, and she's an amazing woman and a great teacher. Alice has her degree in computer science and is a certified information system project manager, which means she knows systems, she knows organization, she knows how to put together. So for more information on Alice, go to organizelongisland.com. And with that, Alice, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm thrilled to have you on the show, and I'm anxious to learn. I deal a lot with those with ADHD, and when they start talking about clutter, I've learned over the years there's clutter and then there's hoarding, and I don't know if I really have a Swiss Army knife to really understand what the difference is. So I want to ask you to begin with, can you tell us what hoarding is, both from maybe a diagnostic criteria, but also maybe more for like a functionality and how you see it when you're out in the trenches?
Yes, I'd love to. So let me start with this, that hoarding, much like ADHD, has gone through a number of changes in the DSM over the years. The most significant change in the recent DSM is that hoarding is no longer considered a subset of OCD, which it used to be. It now has a diagnosis of its own. That
wow.
being said, let's give some general definitions and descriptions of hoarding.
Okay.
And while there's no direct relationship between ADHD and hoarding, the disorganization that's present with ADHD can easily ramp up after a trauma, or numerous other things can cause it to ramp up where we start moving into the area of hoarding. So let's define a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Hoarding is the acquiring and keeping of so many possessions that areas of the home become unusable, yet the person continues to avoid any meaningful reduction of the belongings. It has two components. It's the excessive accumulation of stuff and the failure to discard stuff. Stuff comes in, but nothing leaves. And over time, it builds up. There's no flow. So areas get clogged, cluttered, congested, and they become unable to be used for their intended purpose. So at what point does it start to cross over from clutter to hoarding? For me, I define it as functionality. When a room can no longer be used for its intended purpose, or the volume of possessions get in the way of daily activities, and it affects quality of life. So in a bathroom, you can't take a shower in a bathroom, or you can't cook in a kitchen, that line has been crossed.
Okay.
And it's a continuum, you know. It's not an event. It's not, you know, one day it's clutter and the next day it's hoarding. It happens over time. So let's talk a little bit first about the accumulation.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with value. People tend to think of hoarding as, you know, empty butter tubs and empty Chinese food containers. That's not necessarily true. That can be true, but it doesn't have to be worthless possessions. I've been in homes where the hoarding is designer shoes and handbags, but you can't move around in the place. So it's not necessarily valueless things. Then there are some people who collect junk. They do dumpster diving, garbage picking. That can happen, but it doesn't have to be present. Given the world we live in, where consumerism pushes us constantly to buy more stuff, the impulse control of ADHD, you know, plays into this accumulation part. Then the other side of it is the failure to discard. So people with ADHD very often see the big picture. They see the possibilities. That can also be true with people with who hoard. They don't want to let something go because they might need it in the future. They might be able to use it in the future. They might be able to fix it. So all of that plays into it. It's
so,
not really... Go ahead.
No, okay, go ahead and finish your thought. It's not really bad?
It's not really an organization issue, necessarily. Okay?
Okay.
The ADHD can play into it also with the crafts. People with ADHD tend to be very creative, but they don't tend to finish things. So very often there's lots of these crafts, but the projects aren't finished. They see the possibilities. They also have high levels of distress and anxiety at the thought of getting rid of these things. And this, again, this anxiety exists regardless of the value of the items. So I'd like to kind of do a quick take on the effect of the TV shows. I call it the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Can you hold that thought? Because we're going to need to go
sure.
to break for in a second. I'd like to kind of come back so we can kind of get into that. A few questions. What I'm hearing is it used to be considered a part of OCD, right? Is that what you said?
Correct.
And
it
now
was not a separate diagnosis.
And now it is.
Yes.
This has me fascinating. We've had Roberto Olivardi on the show talking about OCD. It was fascinating because the O is an obsessive thought that you kind of can't control. It comes in. And the C is a compulsive behavior to rid yourself of the obsessive thought. So there's some people that are just straight O, which are hard to diagnose. And then the C is fascinating because, as he described, those people know that they have this obsessive thought, and it doesn't make any sense, but they can't rid themselves of it. And so it's fascinating to me as I begin to think about the hoarding because, as you described, it's the acquisition of stuff and the failure to discard it. And I get curious as to what drives that to a degree. But then also you talked about impulsivity, and we've interviewed so many experts, researchers, that are talking ADHD much more as more of a self-regulation issue, which explains the impulsivity. And so they have a hard time regulating. In other words, they have a hard time accumulating this stuff and kind of get rid of it. So I can see how there's this interesting kind of space between the two where it kind of in resides. And it just has me curious. Then the other thing, too, is that, as you described, is when's it clutter and when's it hoarding is when something no longer becomes functional. You're kind of crossing that line a little bit. I'm just kind of curious, if it's its own diagnosis and no longer part of OCD, any insight as to what drives the hoarding? And that's kind of a big question, but I'm just kind of curious on your thoughts.
Well, it can be a number of things. Serious hoarding, generally there is trauma in the person's background. And I am not a therapist or a medical doctor, but my experience with people has been that very often they're either building it almost a cave to protect themselves. So they build a cave of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Or they feel very isolated, and possessions become their friends.
So it's almost like the possessions are self-worth?
Not self-worth, but they can't be hurt by the possessions, and in the past, people have hurt them.
Got it.
So it's like a protective mechanism.
Yeah. I tell you, Alice, let's go to a break real quick, and I come back. I want to kind of pick up on your discussion about the hoarding shows going on. Real quickly, everybody out there, if you want to learn more on Alice, go to organizelongisland.com or also challenging. Actually, help me out with this website. It's
challengingdisorganization.org, and that's the Institute for Challenging Disorganization, which is the institute which certifies professional organizers in hoarding, ADHD, chronic disorganization, aging issues, that kind of thing.
Excellent.
And I'll mention them later on. There's something called the Clutter Hoarding Scale that's free and available on that website.
On challengingdisorganization.org, correct?
Yes. Yes.
With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Alice Price, who's a professional organizer that specializes in ADHD and hoarding, and we're having a spirited conversation. And I find this fascinating because I have to acknowledge that I'm a little naive. I didn't realize that hoarding's its own diagnosis now in the DSM-5, which is really kind of fascinating to me. Before the break, you were alluding to the notion that of the TV show Hoarding. That's I think it's been running on the Learning Channel. Is that accurate, or am I?
There's 2 shows, Hoarding and Hoard is Buried Alive. I believe there's another one now too, but I don't watch them. So the effect of the TV shows, I think it's very interesting that I think the good thing is that we've brought hoarding out into the public, that people now know there is such a thing as hoarding. I think the bad part is this. 15 years ago when I started organizing, it was very common when I'd walk into somebody's home, they'd be very embarrassed and upset and ashamed, and they'd say to me, "Is this the worst you've ever seen?" Now, when I walk into somebody's house, they don't feel quite so bad, and what they say to me is, "This is bad, but I'm not as bad as those people on TV." And you know, which is good and bad. You know, there is always the good, the bad. And I also want to refer to what I refer to as the ugly. Now, I will work with hoarders, but I will not work with what is called wet squalor. Squalor is where it's really dirty and trashy. Wet squalor is where it's things like, dead rotting food, or dead rotting animals, rotting food, diapers, human feces, that kind of thing. I will not work in that. You've got to get somebody that's willing to wear a hazmat suit. I will wear a face mask and gloves, but that's it. Then there's dry squalor, and dry squalor is where there's so much stuff. Think sort of the Collier Brothers. There's so much stuff. There's cobwebs and dirt and dust, but there's nothing wet and rotting, okay? But I think the TV shows have had an effect, mostly for the good, because now people talk about hoarding.
But if I may, we've had Rob Todisco on for forever. He's an attorney and a huge community advocate. He talks about secrecy breeds shame. And so getting out in the public and talking about that, where people say, "Listen, I'm bad, but I'm not that bad," where before that, like, they're almost embarrassed, seems to me like a good thing, because people actually begin to reach out for help in those types of situations. And again, everybody, that's just my opinion. It's not necessarily fact, but it just seems to me bringing awareness and people talking about it is a good thing.
Yeah. And actually, that's a good segue into the next thing I'd like to talk about, and that's the difference between collecting and hoarding, and the difference between clutter and hoarding. So the collecting is people have things that they want. It brings them joy. It's stuff in the light They belong to clubs with collectors. They meet with people that share this desire to have these things. Their collections are treasured. Hoarding, on the other hand, is in the dark. It's sort of the light versus the dark. Showing things off versus hiding things. There really is no connection between the two. Somebody can be a collector and have oodles of something, but it's not having a negative impact on their life. Hoarding has a negative impact on their lives, or the lives of their family members, too. That's, that can be an issue, too. I'd like to use that to lead into some of the consequences of hoarding.
But if we can kind of stop for a second. So what you're saying is that collecting is collecting things that are treasured that you'd almost kind of want to show off, whereas hoarding is more accumulating stuff and hiding it. You're not really showing it off. You're just kind of collecting stuff for whatever
and
reason.
And also collecting, you're collecting something, coins, stamps, dolls, whatever. Hoarding is everything. There's no discrimination.
Yeah, where's clutter? Like, you have collecting, you have hoarding. Where does clutter fall into this continuum?
Clutter is really much closer, I believe, to what's happening to most people with ADHD. Clutter is the result of disorganization. Organization is a place for everything and everything in its place. Everything has a home, and you put it away. With ADHD, and this is what clutter is, people aren't sure where to put something. So they put it down, and then they have something else in their hand, and they put that down, therefore burying the first thing, and then it's a series of that. And with clutter, most people that have clutter every now and then will say, okay, I got to clean this up, and they can do it. Hoarding is not like that at all. Hoarding
just
accumulates more and more.
This is fascinating, just to, as my experience, and one of the reasons why I wanted to have it on is I really want to understand that line of hoarding, and I'm starting to get my hands around it, but I do want to share this, and in observing those with ADHD, particularly many of them are visual. If they don't see it, it doesn't exist, so like to put it away, I mean, I actually coached a guy one time where he had an organizer come in and organize his house, and he couldn't find a thing because he didn't really know, it was all out of sight, out of mind. And it was fascinating to me because I remember growing up as a kid, there was this guy, Louis Warren. He had garage. I mean, there was stuff everywhere. I mean, it was amazing. But if you asked him, I want 3/4-inch bolts, he could walk into his garage and put his hand into the middle of a stack of stuff and play. You asked him anything, and he could take you right to it. It was funny because I had an epiphany, and we did an interview with Casey Patey years ago, who was another professional organizer, and we called it ugly organizational systems, because to me the definition of organization is if you can put your hands on it right now, then it's organized. I don't really care what it looks like. It can be ugly.
Me too.
And so
finding what you want when you need it.
And this is
the difference is the functionality.
Yeah, and this is why one of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on the show is to kind of dissect this stuff a little bit, because I've actually written an article for Attention Magazine called Ugly Organizational Systems, and I have in my garage I got my tool bench and stuff, and my wife is like, you got to organize it. And I said, I can't, because I won't know where anything is, because I know exactly where that stuff is. It looks like clutter, but for me it's actually organized because I can put my hands on it. And I've coached many with ADHD who there's clutter all over them. They know exactly where everything is. And in a second, I want to ask you, is that really clutter? Because to me, that's somewhat organization. If there's stuff everywhere and you can't find it, that becomes clutter in my mind. So can you share your comments on that?
I kind of agree with you. To me, organization means being able to find what you want when you need it. Okay? Now, if you are a visual person, and people with ADHD very often are, this is where a professional organizer can truly help, to help you set up a system where, for instance, very often I recommend people not to have a dresser with drawers in it because they can't see anything. They are better off removing that and putting in some kind of a shelving unit, almost like a bookcase, because then they can see what's in the space. And when they can see it, it makes it easier to maintain. So clutter is, just having stuff around. But it's, you can still function. It's when there's so much clutter that you can't function, then you start moving into the area of hoarding.
Yeah,
some people are very comfortable with stuff around. Some people like a kitchen counter with nothing on it.
And,
you know,
yeah,
we're
so,
not
so,
all the same.
So I'm going to kind of jump in here because many of those with ADHD, if you're very visual, if you have something you need to do, you leave it out so you can remember it. And that's fine. But if you leave everything out you need to leave in a day, it becomes overwhelming, and you become immune to it. You actually don't see it because there's
right,
so much
it becomes
stuff that becomes overwhelming. And so when you said sometimes you don't do chest of drawers, I mean, I've coached people before where we begin to realize is if you put it away, it's out of sight, out of mind. And so they put it out, and there's this clutter, but at some point in time, it becomes overwhelming. And the strategy became is you're not really a hoarder. You're not really a collector. It's a visual type thing, and we've done some things where very similar to you. Like we'll have bookcases where they put the items that they need to do, and we'll put a curtain over it so that it's not overwhelming. We'll schedule it certain times where they open the curtain, and then they can be, oh, well, I got to do this, this, this. And so we're doing that balance between the visual reminders, which is it really clutter or is it a visual reminder, but we begin to manage it in such a way so that you schedule the time to see it and then cover it up so that it's out of sight, out of mind, so you're not overwhelmed and you can kind of do the next item. And I think that a lot of those with ADHD that are in that little space, they're not hoarders, and they're not collectors, but they have clutter, and they don't really realize that they're visual reminders for themselves out there, and they should begin to manage the visualness of it.
Yes,
again,
and that's where professional organizers can help develop systems that will work with their visual so that they can see things and still put them in their proper place so they can find them.
Absolutely. We need to go to break real quick again. When we come back, I want to kind of pick up this conversation because I think this would be very helpful for some of the people that are listening out there. Again, to learn more about Alice, it's organizedlongisland.com, or the other website is challengingdisorganization.org. I want to make sure I got that. Is that correct?
Correct.
Challenging. Okay. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're here with Alice Price talking about ADHD and hoarding. At the top of the hour, she was defining hoarding. And we got into some details, and we started looking at what collecting, clutter, and hoarding is, and we started relating that to those with ADHD. And Alice, I got a question for you. I've
sure.
Coached multiple people before that struggle with memory, some with short-term memory, but many of those with ADHD with long-term memory. And a few of them, they called themselves hoarders, and in coaching them, and I'm not a hoarding expert, but it was fascinating to me because we began to realize is that they collect things because they are memories and they can't recall those memories. So they hold on to an item because it reminds them of an event or a person or a thing. And 3 people in particular, we've found some success because at some point in time, they get overwhelmed with all the clutter, if you will, and they've actually had some people come in and they hold up an item and say, what does this remind you of? And they'll say it, and then they'll say, are you ready to let go of that? And the person will say, well, I need to keep that, or no, I'm ready to let go of it. And it's been fascinating to me how they've like begin to realize is, yes, I'm uncomfortable letting all this stuff go because it's like my history, it's my memory. It's like erasing the past for me. And again, this is just my experience as a coach. What are your thoughts on that? Have you seen any of that stuff, or is that just unique to me?
No. It's fairly common. And here we start getting close to the therapy line, so I want to be a little careful here. Very often I mentioned people come from a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's been trauma in their past, very often they want to hold on to some good memories. So they very often hold on to too much memorabilia. And the items almost take on a personality. And they don't want to hurt the item's feelings by getting rid of them. That gets into a therapy issue.
You're absolutely right on that. The space that I'm on is more mechanical in that they literally have a hard time retrieving. Like, let me give you an example. I have dyslexia, and one of my problems,
okay.
Most people think dyslexia is a transposition of numbers. It's a symbol retrieval problem. So sometimes I'll look at something and I'm like, ugh, like I'm having a hard time remembering the symbol or the letter that's there. I mean, it's odd because sometimes I can like I can see it. It's a very metacognition thing. And the identification with these people is it's not a trauma thing, but it's like in the absence of this, I can't recollect. Like, there's one woman who she held some stuff and she remembers. She told me, said, I look at this picture because I can't remember when I had kids and they actually had bunk beds. Like, I could not recall that on my own, so I keep that picture because it's my historical memory. So I flip through it because if I want to go back and remember their childhood, I look at the pictures and then I can remember it because on my own I can't recall it.
And actually, that's something we use, professional organizers use all the time, is suggesting pictures because they don't need the physical item anymore. In other words, you don't need the bunk beds anymore, but you can take a picture of them, and that can still help you retrieve the memory. We very often work with people who, retired people as they're aging, they had a whole career, and they retire and bring all this stuff home from the office or wherever, and they can't let it go. And now they're downsizing, and it's letting go of their past. And we can help them put together memory boxes and that kind of thing, and, you know, scrapbooks even. And we encourage people to do oral histories, record this stuff in some way for their children and their grandchildren, but you don't need to hold on to all this stuff.
So,
does that help?
So this is a sweet spot of our show. We like to pay attention to attention. And so you have collecting. That's things of value, but it's not impairing your life. And then there's hoarding where you're,
right.
It's the dark side. And then you have this collecting thing, which I think really applies to the, in if you retire for something and you collect all this stuff, at some point in time, it can impair your life. So the question is it the dark side, or is it because you have an impaired memory, and if you just took pictures of it, if you will, and let it go, that you could consolidate that stuff so you don't have all the, you have like rooms full of stuff. Like I have a letter jacket from college. I have a blanket from college because I swam at Indiana. It's Olympic trials. If you listen to the show, you know that I was internationally ranked at one point in time. And I've got this stuff, and it's funny because I don't use any of it, but I keep it as a memory of that. And
that sounds reasonable because it's a reasonable amount. If you have so much stuff, it's impairing your functionality, then it's a problem.
But here,
memorabilia is a good thing.
But you got me thinking, it is, but I'm holding on to so much stuff that I'm having to pay a fair amount of money for a bigger house just to store that stuff as a memory. But if I took a picture of it, like I got this. I went to Indiana. I got this eye blanket. It was like your third. You get a jacket. You get a watch. Whatever. And literally none of that stuff I use. But I've got this blanket. I'm never going to use it. Maybe I should just take a picture of it and save that space. But I'm holding on to it as a memory, not to an extreme, but again. One of the reasons I want to have you on the show, Alice, is begin to get those with ADHD begin to think, like, well, why am I holding on to this? Is it, you know, and begin to realize that are you really a hoarder or is it clutter because of whatever reason? And, again, I know I'm thinking out loud right now, but it's amazing to me as you begin to think about this, if you identify why you're holding on to it, it reveals – you begin to think about really why you're holding on to it, and you can do a different thing. Like, oh, I'm collecting these stamps because it's a treasure, or I'm holding this as a memory. Maybe there's a different way I can do it. Or is this really the dark side, and I'm just collecting things because I can't let go of it? Maybe there's a trauma in my life, and maybe I should go check that out. It's just
what you're talking about does not sound like the dark side to me at all.
Okay.
It's memories, and we all want to hold on to our memories. And one thing I would like to talk about before we come to the end here is this clutter hoarding scale. The Institute for Challenging Disorganization has put out, it's called the Clutter Hoarding Scale. And it's free on their website. And what it is, it's a chart, it's colorful, so it's very attractive to people who are visual. And across the top, there are various classifications, structure and zoning, animals and pests, household function, and then it goes from level one, which is green, which means it's clutter, it's simple clutter, to level five, which is red. And in each of these columns, it describes situations. And here again with the hoarding, as things start getting bad, you know, you may have a leaky faucet or a leaky sink or a leaky toilet, and you're embarrassed to have anybody in the house, so you don't call a repairman. Now you have a ceiling falling in and those kind of things. And it's this accumulation of not just stuff, but the consequences of it. And so now you have structural problems. People who have animals, you know, when you have too much stuff around and you have cats, they can't get to a litter box. And you've got bags of stuff all over, so now the whole house is turning into a litter box. This is where you start getting into problems.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I do encourage people to go to challengingdisorganization.org and look for the clutter hoarding scale. The way you go in, it's as if you're buying something, but the price always stays zero. And you can download it. It's just the way it works. They should make it easier to download it, but... It's got lots of good information in it, and if somebody is concerned about their clutter, and one of the things I say about the show is I look at these shows sometimes and I say, where was help 5 years ago or 10 years ago? So if there are people out there who are concerned with their clutter and fear that they will be a hoarder in the future, download this document and... get a good idea of where you are on the clutter hoarding scale.
It'll help you
and reach out for help.
It'll help you pay attention to what you're paying attention to, which is what our show is really kind of all about. Alice, this has been very, very illuminating. We love to do shows where we take things and we break things down into detail and say, hey, listen, what's the difference between collecting and clutter and hoarding and is hoarding OCD or is it something else? And so I think it's been very valuable for our listeners. I need to wrap this thing up now, but any final comments or insights you'd like to share before we close?
Well, one thing I didn't get to talk about but I would have liked to have is some comorbid conditions. That hoarding can exist not only with ADHD, it can exist with depression or anxiety. It can be present with dementia. All those things can happen with other things. And all of these things tend to make each of the others worse. So pay attention to this and don't judge yourself for one thing. I mean, certainly people with ADHD or hoarding, you know, should resist judging themselves. Cut yourself some slack. I'm a big believer in cutting yourself some slack.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Alice, again, thank you so much. This has been a spectacular education for me. I know I've learned a lot. Everybody, learn more about Alice by going to organizedlongisland.com and check out challengingdisorganization.org for the the clutter hoarding scale. So, Alice,
that's it.
Well, all that. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're very welcome, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Everybody, catch us next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're having a feature next week, some interviews on many of the people that are speaking at this year's CHAD conference. So tune in and enjoy the evening. Take care.